Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Maybe we have a basketball team. Finally. And it's not like Simeon or Whitney Young or King. No, we might have a basketball team in town. We'll talk a little Bulls basketball. And then we got something really interesting. So we'll get into all that.
Well, the Bulls are interesting.
It's game one of 82.
No, but I'm talking Bulls, but let's talk about something more interesting later.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean it that way. It's cool. I bet on the game. I had fun with it. I was enjoying just watching the game. It was my wife's birthday. We're having a good dinner.
90 seconds in, you're taking a shot at the Bulls.
No, I'm not.
90 seconds in.
81 more to go.
Okay.
But it's very cool. They got the win. First time in since 2016, like to listen to Adam Amin throw out some stats of how long it's been since they've been over 500, won their opener. It's like, boy, we were a basketball wasteland. Like, I knew we sucked. We were really bad.
Oh, sure. I mean, I remember it just like, I don't know, it was last year. Well, of course. I mean, you take a look at this team now. The reason why, as we talked about yesterday, the reason why that I liked what I saw yesterday, I knew the Bulls were going to win against a young, inexperienced Detroit team. What I really liked is that Zach LaVine doesn't seem like he's alone. That's the whole thing.
There's a lot of talent there.
Well, that's my takeaway, is that LaVine had 34 points. That did not surprise me. He went to the foul line 11 times, so I like that. But when you see Lonzo Ball, who's distributed the basketball, had 12 points. Vucevic had a double-double. DeRozan had 17. He's not alone. And that's what I like about this. And Billy Donovan had enough. After seeing what happened, you know, in the previous regime, he looked at this team and said, I'm not here to teach. I'm here to coach and win.
Correct.
I'm not here to try to cultivate this young talent and all these guys that were promised playing time from Boylan and all that nonsense and that phoniness from Boylan. He's like, you know what? Get rid of half of these guys. Give me some players. The Bulls will not be a lottery team this year.
Correct.
Especially if they're blessed with good health. They will be a top eight team in the East, and that's going to be fun to watch. Here's what you look for, Cap. Because the Bulls have been such a bad franchise and not run properly, and what you take solace in is that the Bulls are not going to be an embarrassment. The Bulls have veteran players that can be able to win and help Zach LaVine. LaVine's trying to win actually more than four games the first time in his career in a row. If he can win five games in a row, I think that would break a record for him.
Correct.
So that's all a positive. So my takeaway is I'm just happy that the Bulls look like a good team, look like they're not going to be an embarrassment. And fun. Just be interesting. That's all. Just be interesting.
Agreed. There were a few takeaways I had from watching that game, Hoodie. A, Zach LaVine was engaged late in possessions defensively. Now, last year, Zach, we need you to kind of be our point guard because we don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, we need you to score 28 a game. Zach, we need you to stretch the floor and hit threes. Oh, and by the way, we need you to guard one of the best scorers on the wing. Last night, Billy had a great quote after the game where he said, look, the toughest thing for this team, it's not the talent level. We've got talent. It's Zach was the number one guy here. DeMar was the number one guy in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Vooch was the number one guy in Orlando.
Right.
Everything ran through them.
Right.
He said, now you got to defer. And he sees that coming together. He goes, it's going to take time. I like that they played connected defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's a chance that this thing is headed truly in the right direction. Not enough talent yet, But they are a radically different franchise.
Yeah, I like that they took the preseason seriously and the practices seriously. A lot of teams that have been together a while, they just kind of just go and roll through the punches and all that, Cap. But I think that from listening to Billy Donovan in the preseason, he's like, you know, we got to take this seriously because we got limited practice time. We got to be able to work together because of what you just laid out. All these guys that used to have different roles, and now they have to play together. Now, this isn't like the Lakers, you know, when you've got all these Hall of Famers together and they're somehow, some way, supposed to cobble together 50-plus wins. This is different, where you have a guy like DeRozan, shoots under 3% from three, but is very good in the mid-range and, yep. and good defensively. You talked about it earlier in our meeting about Zach LaVine. The thing that you noticed the most is he was engaged defensively.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, that's a switch from what we've seen in the years past, too.
Right. I think it, part of it, and it, well, that's not a shot that he wasn't last year. It's that you asked him to do so much that human body's got to rest a little bit. And when the team's down, it's hard to stay connected. Last night, I thought they did a really good job of that. Vooch hit a huge three to make it 59-57.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bulls were get it to one, back down four. Jeremy Grant, guy's a good player, man.
Yeah.
Sadiq Bey, they got a couple good players, and their best player is their number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham. He didn't play.
Yeah, Harvey Grant's kid. People wonder what Grant that is. It's Harvey Grant's kid.
Yeah, Horace's brother.
Yeah, the old Washington Bullet.
Correct.
Harvey was like this hard hat, lunch pail guy.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't. Horace was cause a scorer, very good defensively. Harvey Grant was just kind of a hard hat guy, a nice role player for the Bullets, right? But watching him, he definitely is the guy, right? And so the Detroit's trying to build towards something. But as I mentioned to you yesterday, when you see Detroit today at Little Caesars Arena, and you compare that to the Palace, or you compare that to Pontiac, it's just not
Joe
the same.
Lewis.
It's just not the same, right? It's just when you went in there, it was a house of horrors, right? Yeah. The guy there from the PA guys like Chauncey Billups, you know, it's Chauncey Billups, and just loud and crazy in there. Not quite the same place. Not quite the same franchise.
No, but it's fun. So I don't know how many people had appointment viewing. We got to see the first Bulls game, but I think it was way better than it's been. Yeah. Way better.
A lot of people are watching the Bulls game. You know why? Because Adam Amin and Stacey King were back.
On the road.
That's right. Together.
Yeah. I saw Chuck Swirsky right behind them. I'm like, whoa.
It's weird.
Everybody's back.
That's just strange.
Yeah.
It's just like the setup there was him and Stephen Bardo. And they were together, and they're like behind Stacey and Adam. That just doesn't think that's funny. And by the way, we were on the right side from a money standpoint. Your trusty radio partner told you, take the Bulls on the money line. Be careful, but okay, take them on the money line. And that was a safe bet. But if you just had the Bulls, is it minus six?
5.5.
5.5? Tough at the end, wasn't it?
So they hit a basket. And
the Pistons.
The Pistons do to end the game. And the score on the score bug on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Turns 94-90. Now, I was talking to some college refs when I was doing hoops last winter,
mm-hmm.
and they said because of the advent of legalized sports gambling
mm-hmm.
and how many millions of dollars are at stake, they have been given notice by the NCAA, and the NBA's done the same thing. All last second shots, they don't care if it's 100-37. Will be reviewed if it's close.
Yeah.
Because it could affect the total. It could affect the spread. So last night, if you're laying 5.5, they hit the shot at the buzzer, 94-90 final. You lose.
Oh, God.
And there were 97% of the money and 98% of the tickets were on the Bulls. That's how the whole country said, oh, they're going to kill Detroit. Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there, and I bet them on the money line. I don't bet enough that it's going to it's not like I've got $50 million on the game, and the money line was minus 221 at tip.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for people out there go, what does that mean? It means for every 100 you want to win, you had to lay $221.
Yeah, it's not like you had the piggy bank from Squid Games.
Correct.
Of money, of won in there to get that done.
Correct.
Right?
So.
Sorry, Danny, there's a piggy bank there. I didn't mean to spoil it for you. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the game I watched. No, never mind.
Got a marp?
Yeah, exactly. So,
I got one left. What about you?
These are rocks in my...
See, Danny, there's a whole thing there with game, the betting there. You know, they play games.
I got you.
Games.
All right. I'm following.
I just don't want you to think we're sports.
So anyway, they hit this shot.
Mm-hmm.
Game over, 94-90. And I'm like, thank goodness I played the money line. And again, the money wasn't going to change my life.
No, but it's just safe.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then Jason Goff in the NBC Sports Chicago studio with Kendall and Will.
Yeah. What'd I say?
Man. Immediately goes, they waved off that last basket. It's 94-88.
That's not what he said. That's not what Jason said. Man, they waved off that last basket, dude. Man, that's what he said. That's what Jason said. He was
pretty much.
He had another fly suit yesterday.
He did green.
Oh, man, he dresses so well.
Danny, did you not hear Goff right at the start? I mean, before he even says, hey, we're 1-0, Bulls win, welcome it. Not. Didn't even address that. It was, that last basket doesn't count.
Well, that literally was the most important thing when the game ended. Because the game ended and they hit that meaningless shot. And those of us that had the Bulls giving the 5 points were like, oh my God, I cannot believe what just happened.
Correct.
And Goff realized that's what we were all thinking. Clearly, he went to the window as well. And that literally was the lead of the postgame show. I don't see how anything else could be.
I think that's true.
And like Michael Jordan was coming back.
The Chicago Bulls. Yes, indeed. The Bulls get the job done against the Detroit Pistons. And yes, I wasn't concerned because I was on the right side. I knew the Bulls were going to win the game, but I didn't have that skin in the game. No, I decided to bet other games for that.
Yeah.
Good night for your partner.
Nice.
Really good night.
Good for
you.
Well,
there's no more WNBA to bet on, so you got to get. Now you switch over to the NBA.
Correct.
See, I keep telling you, Caps, you just don't listen to me, man. I keep telling you. Your partner likes to build towards something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The college bets, the WNBA, betting the sky to win the championship. It all builds to a crescendo. It all builds to NBA bets. And then you take that kitty and you move that over to the NFL playoffs. There's a formula to all this.
Do you know what the sky was? Before the playoffs started to win it?
The odds? No, I did not. I don't know the odds.
20-1.
That's fair.
20-1.
Well, you're a 500 ball club. You don't think much of them. Even with the ace on there, Candace Parker.
But go back to it. They were really good till she got hurt.
Yep.
She missed, I don't know, 7 games or whatever. And they struggled. Now she's back healthy. You're like, I should take a flyer on that. But I didn't, of course.
For those of you that are at work or are going to talk to someone on social media, just ask them the question that Cap and I have asked the last couple of days. Name someone that is more accomplished than Candace Parker all time growing up in Chicago as a basketball player. All time.
All time. You can have any era. You can go to George Mikan. You can go to Derrick Rose. Name somebody. But they had to have grown up here.
Yes.
We kept Kevin Garnett out of it.
Too bad.
Correct. He only was here for a year, 18 months. He doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan was born in Wilmington. Well, actually born in Brooklyn and lived in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't count. You had to have been from here. Who are the candidates? Isaiah, Quinn Buckner, Dwayne Wade. Candace Parker's got them all beat in my world.
Which is great. Well, I mean, we see the resume. It's unmatched. You can't touch that. It's amazing what she's accomplished.
Yep. And she's as classy a person as you will find.
Yes.
That was our opening drive brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets are always available at nusports.com. You also get your basketball tickets there as well. You're late for a very important date. You're going to love this. Next.
Take that.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jalen Johnson was late. Got fined $2,745. And went to social media. That caused Longtime pizza man.
Yeah.
Our guy Sylvie. Take a shot at Danny for something out of his control. Danny, would you please let me know exactly what happened? Because I was in the middle of something yesterday afternoon.
Or let us know, because I'm on the show too. Go ahead, Danny.
You were listening.
Hoodie, thanks for asking.
That was not doing that. Oh, wow.
So they were talking about the Jalen Johnson situation and about how he was late. And then Sylvie started talking about how everybody has that one friend who is always late. And because that person is always late, you have to give them fake times for events that are supposed to begin, whether it's dinner dates or birthday parties, whatever the case may be. You have that friend that's always late and you got to lie to them and say, you know, the party's starting at noon instead of 12:30 because you know they're going to be late. And then Sylvie, my good friend, besmirched my name by saying that I am always late and he has to lie to me about times. Now, here's why that really pissed me off. You can legitimately set your clock to me. We work in radio and our lives are ruled by a clock. There's a clock over Cap's left shoulder that I stare at for 3 hours. Our lives are legitimately ruled by the clock. The show starts at 7. It doesn't start at 7:01. And because of this, right, I am always on time, and I literally pride myself on the fact that I'm 2 minutes early, never 2 minutes late to anything.
So the day of the Walk is One Chicago for Bernie's Book Bank.
Yes.
You can go to walkisonechicago.org if you'd like to donate and help young kids around the Chicago area. I asked Danny, hey, man, I know it's out of your way. Could you pick me up to take me to work? Because my wife's going to pick me up at the end of the long walk and take me home. I don't have anything to do with my car. Can't drive it down here because I can't get it. And Danny said, I'll be there at 4:55. Okay, great. I got my coffee. I went out in my driveway. I got my little bag of extra gear that I need. 4:55. Not 4:56, not 4:55:59. Danny pulled in my driveway. Literally on the money. And he's always like that.
Yes.
So I pride myself on being on time. Now, where Sylvie is not wrong is if I go anywhere with my wife, the lovely Diana, I am always late. Because she does not believe in time, nor does she believe in being on time, right? Her theory is if you're 15 minutes late, you're actually on time. And it's frustrating for me. It's caused a lot of arguments and a lot of disagreements.
Tom Coughlin would cut her like day one.
Correct. So Sylvie crapping on me for being always late, he left out the fact that I have a bad reputation with him for being late because of my wife. It's got nothing to do with me being late. She pulls me down the late rabbit hole.
And I can completely understand that because it's as if my wife and your wife are the same in that there's been a lot of scenarios where I've had to mislead her on times. Say, for instance, it's 8 o'clock dinner and she'll say, oh, 8 o'clock, that means we leave at 8. No, an 8 o'clock dinner means we're supposed to be there at 8. She has no value of time. Which is amazing because she's in this business, right? She's in a communications business. Like, she has to be able to know what time what is playing on NBC stations across this country.
Right. She doesn't go, start the Ellen show, I don't know, 7:06, whenever she gets there.
That doesn't work that way. I mean, so that's what's so weird, though, Danny. Like, your wife has meetings that she has to be there on time to be in those meetings. You know, and the same thing here with my wife. Peacock has to understand, like, hey, you've got to be able to be on time. And by the way, she's working in 4 different time zones talking to people across the, I mean, imagine, right? But here's the thing that's so weird, though, Danny. I don't know if you experienced this. When it comes to stuff for work, as far as being, like, logging into meetings or going to meetings, she's on time for that. But social stuff, like, no way.
100%. Right? When it comes to the job,
to us,
she can be on time.
Yeah.
But literally, between 9 and 5, she's on time. And then between 5 and 9, time does not matter to her at all.
Which is amazing,
that's
right?
That's fine.
You power through. He's good. You power through. he's not sneezing and like putting cocaine everywhere like you every day.
Oh, anyway, stop. So, I've never tried that in my life.
Champagne.
Yeah. Anyway, so the bottom line is that I have the same issue. I should not have to mislead my spouse and tell her, hey, you know what, we have a 11:30 flight when actually, you know, it's not 11:30, it's 12:30. So we show up at 11:15 trying to get to a flight. Oh, we're going to be late. No, actually, it's an hour later. Oh, so you lie? Like, yeah, because otherwise we wouldn't be there on time.
Okay, so
that's a problem.
So my brother.
That's frustrating because now he's got a bad reputation. And guess what? The hoods do too.
Correct.
How about that?
Correct. My brother, who I love more than life itself, the greatest.
If Mindy and your brother were on a boat and it was sinking and you could only save one of them, which one would you save?
I'd lighten the load on the boat and I'd dive
you
in.
Can't, that's not, I didn't give that option. Feed to the fire, Cap. Your brother or Mindy?
I'm strong Pick enough. One. I lift weights every day. I could hold them both up.
It's a coward way out. Okay, back to you.
He'd hold his tattoos up first. So, go ahead.
My brother, who I love so much, he and his wife, the great Wendy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not the timeliest people in the world.
Oh, his wife's name's Wendy.
Yes.
Oh.
Wendy Rhodes.
Tell me more about her.
Yeah.
Ah, my ex-wife.
We were going to dinner with them.
Yeah.
So we're getting a car service to take us downtown because we're going to drink.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says to me, because every single time we would do that, we would, the Uber or whatever, would pick us up first. Mm-hmm. They live 4 minutes away.
Sure.
We'd be waiting in their driveway for 15 minutes till they're ready. My wife's like, call them and tell them to be on time this time. We've got to make these reservations or we will lose our reservation.
Right.
I had them get picked up first.
Damn right.
The guy, Darman, goes and picks them up and he calls. They're not ready. Yeah, no blank. No blank. Yes. Take that, Bruce. God,
the problem is it tarnishes our reputation of their weakness. You know,
because you know what that is, Danny? It's like, don't invite the Zettermans because they won't be there on time.
And every time we have plans with the Silvermans, every time, I'm not joking, Sylvie takes a side swipe at me and he's going to be like, are you going to be on time or are we going to be sitting there waiting for you? And I take that personally because I'm never late for anything. But he's right because when I go with my wife, I am late. And it gets me to the point, I've had my dad legitimately yell at me because Diana's going to be late. Like, we went on a cruise with my parents, and my dad was yelling at me, you better not make us miss the boat. And I'm like, Dad, I'll never make us miss the boat. Diana might make us miss the boat, but I personally will not make us miss the boat.
There's something about that. And by the way, that should be I know this a little bit out of the realm of the armchair nutritionist, but there's something about that, right? There's some kind of personality disorder that makes people think they're so arrogant and so aloof that they could just roll in anytime. I have a doctor's appointment at Northwestern at 11:30. You don't leave the house at 11:15 for 11:30 appointment. We live 35 minutes from downtown.
Correct.
You're not going to make it on time. But you know what also is also a bugaboo? Danny, here's the thing also that kind of pisses me off. When she's late for something, somehow it always works out, right? Dinner reservation at the Pink Taco or whatever, right? We'll just say the Pink Taco. It's supposed to be there at 8:30. We get there at 8:45. You know what? We do have a table for you. Just 1 second. We'll clear it off for you. Well, like, one time I'd like for it to backfire. Like, one time, doctor's appointment. Sorry. No shot. You're 15 minutes late.
Your appointment was canceled. Sorry. And the next appointment's in 4 months.
Yeah, sorry. The table that you wanted, it's not there. We're sold out. Go to Chicago Cut. And the flom says, no, you're 15 minutes late. No shot. But it never works out that way. You know what happens at the end of the night? You know what happens, Danny? Oh, I guess that worked out, huh?
Well, and even if it doesn't work out, I always get this. Like, we'll be 20 minutes late for dinner with the Silvermans, and I'll be like, oh, we're late. And we'll get there, and she'll be like, well, it's no big deal. They were having a drink. They were fine. Like, she'll find a reason why being late was not a big deal.
So we would go play golf up at Midlane up in Wadsworth.
Yeah.
Me, Kaz, my buddy Dave. One of the guys Kaz invites to play because he played for the Bears, Neil Anderson. Yes. He was a great player.
Yeah, Pro Bowl.
He now lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Neil is like, Danny, you could set your watch to Neil Anderson. Hey, Neil, I need you dressed, stretched, and on the field ready to go at 8:30. Freaking 8 o'clock. That guy's loose and ready to. Where is everybody? To him, 15 minutes early, you're late.
Yeah, I get it.
What time's tee time? There's nobody on the course. It was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
6:30, ball's in the air. We come running up from our cars, me and Kaz, running up. It's 6:31. Again, the tee's wide open. There's no one there.
Right. But ball's in the air at 6:30.
That's what we told Neil.
Yeah.
Neil is walking to his car with his clubs over his shoulder. Kaz goes, dude, T's over here. He goes, you said 6:30. I was ready. Have a good day, gentlemen. And he left. Yes. And he called Kaz later in the day and goes, dude, when you tell me 6:30, your time's not more important than mine. Are we clear? We were never late again to play with him. He made his point. Hmm. Hey, man.
Some people are really particular about time. I totally understand that.
Yep.
So we should probably take some calls on this because I know that we're not alone.
Okay. Does your significant other give you an unwarranted bad reputation about something? Danny does that. His wife does that. We haven't even told you what Danny does. 312-332-3776. We'd love to hear it. Does your significant other give you an unwarranted bad reputation? Be right back.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 with Danny, Jeff, and JR. Tom Brady and the Bears will lock horns in Tampa. Aaron says he owns the Bears. You heard Tom, what he had to say. Here's Cole Kmet.
Well, I mean, let's face it, he's not totally wrong. I mean, he's been pretty successful against the Bears in his career, so... You know, it's on us to kind of change that narrative going forward.
Well said, Cole. That leads us to our guy, Jeff Darlington, who's awesome around the National Football League. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
What's up? How are we doing?
You know how we're doing. Sad.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know what? Because... Aaron Rodgers needs to settle down. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Sure.
Well, give us your thoughts as you look at this matchup, because I know Tom's won 7 rings. I know this dude's motivated by, like, 2 days after they win, he's back in the gym because he's on to the next thing. Do you think he's still, there's some part of him, they beat our ass in Chicago last year, and I thought it was fourth down, and it was actually, he was looking for fifth down. Do you think he's motivated? All right, I'm going to pay them back.
Probably, but actually, if I had to guess, I would say his motivation comes from the fact that he knows, after what he saw last year, how prepared he's going to be. More from a, hey, man, I got humbled by these pass rushers than I need to go get redemption. I just think that this is actually, and I'm not just saying it because I'm on the air with you guys in Chicago. As most people know, I'm probably the biggest Tom Brady apologist / homer in the history of sports, but I actually think that this is a sneaky tough game for him and for the Bucs. I look at that pass rush and I think about the things that have given Tom Brady fits in the past, and it's exactly this. And it's not just the sacks, but 36 knockdowns, quarterback knockdowns this season for the Bears defense?
Yep. Yeah.
I think that that's significant when you're going up against this team. Antonio Brown's dealing with this ankle issue, and that's been kind of Tom's go-to guy this season, so we'll see how that ends up playing out. Even if he can play, how much can he go? I don't know, man. I just feel like this is a little bit sneakier than maybe people are giving it credit for.
So could you put in perspective for us, Jeff, what we're seeing here with Tom Brady, with the championships that he's won and everything in his career? Because this is supposed to look like Jamie Moyer or Vinny Testaverde or, you know, old quarterbacks that don't have it anymore. Right. But at this age, so from one to Jordan, where do we put Tom Brady as far as what we're seeing? Because this may never happen again.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's like when we bring up like Jordan, I think the two elements of this that are most fascinating is that, well, the most important one is the fact that it's not just that he's the greatest of all time, which he has solidified. It's the fact that he's doing that at an age that nobody else has, including Jordan. So I don't even think it's really a comparison necessarily for the sake of like trying to say who's better. I think it's more like this is just unprecedented territory in terms of what he's doing. I saw the other day a stat that, you know, they do those next-gen stats where they basically have the tracker and the ball and they can tell all sorts of different statistics. He's got the fastest thrown pass this season and the longest air distance of any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, compare that. He's 44 years old. So beyond the fact that he's actually playing well, he's actually doing it in a way that isn't some, like, check down, efficient type of thing that an old guy would do. He's doing it in not only the mental sense, but the physical sense. And that's the thing that, as I'm watching him and covering a lot of these games, that I've come to appreciate the most.
Okay, so you're talking to a guy who died on an operating table. My heart stopped. I came back. It's been a long time. You're going somewhere. I remember the whole experience. I tell you that because when we get to where we're headed in our next life, you're going to look and go, he was not a human being. That guy's a robot. There's no way you can, like, our producer Danny has the healthiest diet known to man. He works out 100 hours a week. There is no possible way at age 44 you can get the living H beaten out of you in the National Football League as much as he has and still be that good. He can't be human.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I look at, I've really gotten close to understand sort of what he goes through from a physical standpoint with his whole pliability thing. And I understand the TB12 method, and he wants that to catch on around the world. And I kind of joke, like, look, man, you don't understand. It's not just the method. It's the absolute insane way in which he approaches it. I mean, it is nuts how much he goes through on a daily basis to get his body to where it is. Like, I think if I ride a Peloton like three consecutive days, I'm in the best shape of my life.
Right.
He is drinking like three. I mean, imagine like drinking like 3 gallons of water a day, having someone working on your body, cooking your food. And I'm not taking anything away from him. In fact, I'm praising him through this. It like, he is, you're right, he's the closest thing to a robot that we have right now in sports.
What is the best course of action for the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson, Jeff? How do you handle this? Because we discussed this earlier, and I see what's on ESPN.com. There's not going to be some trade made with Miami. I know that's conjecture and it sounds good, but if you're the Texans, how do you handle this?
Well, the biggest issue the Texans face right now is just the lack of clarity when it comes to the off-the-field issues. I know that that's not that's no secret, but what you have to understand is there are teams that are interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, the only of which Watson wants to play for is Miami, that have inquired with the NFL, and they've said to the NFL, can you give us some sort of expectation as to where you're at with Deshaun Watson, whether he what's going to take to wind up having him on the commissioner's exempt list? So it's not just the legal process of 22 civil lawsuits against him alleging sexual misconduct. It's also, what is the NFL going to do with him at any given moment? If you're going to do it before the trade deadline and make that trade, it's because, let's just use Miami for an example, they need a quarterback now. So if you go give up the equivalent of five first-round picks to get him, and tomorrow he gets added to the commissioner's exempt list, what do you do then? Do you go back to Tua and say, oh, hey, bud, you remember that thing with the Deshaun Watson thing? Don't worry about that. You're still our quarterback.
Right.
So it comes with such complications that I can't fathom a team giving up so much with so much concern and lack of clarity in the process.
I want to go back to Tom for a second because he does these Subway ads. I read this article where he said his family said to him, Dad, we go out for pizza as a family and you just sit there and eat a salad or you don't eat. And he said, you know what? All right, once a month, we can have pizza or we get ice cream as a family. Do you think he's truly doing that or it's all hoax and he doesn't eat anything negative?
No, he does. I can confirm. This is major breaking news, but he does eat things that that the rest of us eat as well. I mean, this is a ridiculous conversation, but I'm very aware of his affinity for pizza and cheeseburgers.
So, how about that, Danny?
Yeah, salacious.
I know, right? Unless Jeff can provide a picture, if he can text it to me after, I do not believe Tom Brady puts that crap in his body.
Guys, when he's eating that food, you have to sign an NDA when you're around him.
That's pretty good.
And I'm completely kidding, because this could certainly wind up as a major headline in sports.
Yes.
I've already sent it to TMZ.
Exactly. Brady actually does eat normal food occasionally.
Yep. What are you hearing in Las Vegas now? They were able to turn around and win the game last Sunday.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, with the whole thing with the Gruden fallout, Jeff, I wonder how the Raiders look at the organization now. Again, new leadership, but I wonder how the players, how do they fall in line after all of this?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really interesting. I was at that game, and you kind of knew they were going to get some jolt of energy from the situation. But I kind of, not to be a pessimist here, but I go back to the fact that, like, you pay these head coaches $100 million over 10 years like they did John Gruden for a reason. You know, you're not just going to get that from a guy that you pull off the bench, basically. So, yes, I think you can get a jolt out of the gate on that. But, I mean, if we think about interim coaches of the past, there's often times when you have an interim coach come in, team gets some energy, some renewed kind of just motivation, and then it falls off from there. Not trying to hate on them, but I think it's pretty unlikely for them to kind of keep that thing going for the way they did on Sunday.
Jeff, what do you think the narrative is nationally? We know what it is here. Do you think people in the know, in the league, people you talk to, that Matt Nagy will not be the head coach next season here?
I don't know, honestly. And I know it's easy to try to make these assessments based on what we're seeing on the field, but I still think that it's so important to go to understand, like, you have to look at the dynamics between Nagy and the rest of the organization, where Pace stands, because these decisions don't just get made because, like, they see a certain thing. I mean, there are very personal relationships that sort of steer the way. I mean, think about Jeff Fisher. Like, think about how long that guy held onto a job. You know why? Because he had such a good relationship with ownership, he just kind of hung on. So it's tough to say, man. Like, I know people want to make conclusions, but there's a lot more that goes into this than just X's and O's.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to ask a question that I used to ask the late Pedro Gomez. You ready for this, Cap? Ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, what's the team in the NFL that you never hear from, that never comes on your phone, that you never get an email about? What's the team that's the quietest team in the NFL?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Who do I never hear from? You're inclined to say the Patriots, but they're actually really good.
right. How about Ryan Pace?
No. I mean, the team
Bears are tough, by the way. The Bears are tough, but, no, yeah. But that's not fair, because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are actually pretty good dudes. Gosh, that's a great question. I'm kind of stumped.
Does your phone ever ring about the Lions? Does it ever ring about?
Well, I know Jared Goff pretty well.
Okay.
It's like weird, you know. You kind of have relationships with certain guys on each team, but there are certain teams, like, gosh, I'm trying to think of a good one right now, and I can't.
I mean, the team that you hear from the least. Like, I used to ask Pedro Gomez this, right? And he'd go, "I never hear anything about the A's."
Right.
Because the A's, there's no news. You know what it is, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Bengals. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'm in Florida, so I'm around the Jaguars a lot. But I would imagine that if you asked most reporters, they'd probably say the Jaguars pretty quick. That's a pretty big wasteland for NFL reporters. Like, they could be. It takes them to be pretty. Like, they have to be in the NFC Championship game, literally a few years ago, for people to start caring. Like, even at ESPN, it's like they'll be 13-0. So maybe we should start covering them. You know?
Late.
It takes so long. Meanwhile, like, the Jets score a touchdown, and we're sending the whole set of countdown there.
That's crazy.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. We love talking ball with you.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
You too. Be good. There he is, Jeff Darlington from ESPN. Very dialed in on the National Football League. He's all over Get Up at SportsCenter and all of it.
Not all the National Football League. There's some teams that don't contact him.
Exactly. The Jags. But I'm down here, so for most people, it's the Jags.
Yeah. But how about the huge news we made with the Tom Brady and the eating that's going to go viral?
He actually eats cheeseburger. He said pizza and cheeseburger.
I don't believe a word of it.
That's funny.
And Tom has said, yes, my kids kind of came to me and said, if we're going to go out as a family and eat pizza, Mom eats it, you got to eat it. And he said, okay, but then we got to get good pizza, not crappy pizza.
And what else did he say? He said, a lot of times I just say what people want to hear.
Except Jeff said,
because I'm a professional.
I can confirm it. Sounds like Jeff's been with him for that. Yes. Anyway. Does your significant other give you an unwarranted bad rep for something they do that blows back on you? Next.
Take that.